This is a audio cassette, for lack of a better number, number one, and this corresponds with sound roll number 67 and camera roll number 140, and this is our interview with Ethel Kennedy.
140, sound roll 67, Mark.
Ms. Kennedy, what are your earliest memories of Cesar Chavez? Did Bobby come home and tell you a story? What was the first time you heard about Cesar?
Well, it was before Bobby and Cesar met. He used to talk about him because I think he, from the very first time he read about him, he felt here was a kindred spirit, someone who had to struggle for everything and who was really concerned about his people and who stood up for them. And he just thought, here is my kind of guy.
So when he went and met him, what was his impression when he went and met him? I guess it was what, late 60s, when he went and met him. Did he come back and say anything to you?
Oh, yes. He was very excited about him. He had been asked to go and support the boycott and meet with Cesar. And it was in the middle of his campaign. And he turned to an aide who was a very close friend of his, a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist, Ed Guthman, and he said, well, I've got this invitation, what do you think? And Ed said, well, the people who like you are still going to like you, and the people who dislike you are going to still dislike you. What's your feeling? And Bobby said, I like Cesar. And so in the middle of this very strenuous campaign, he flew to California. But on the way, he stopped at Des Moines, where he gave some campaign speech for Governor Hughes. And Governor Hughes, knowing Bobby was coming, got three other governors there. And so Bobby said, well, why don't you all come with me? We'll all go see Cesar together. And they said, one reason or another, it wasn't on their agenda. So, but they did write him a note, and all four signed them. And all I could think of, how are they going to get out of that room without writing that note? I mean, it was kind of fun. Anyway, when Bobby finally met Cesar, was in a very small, dark room, and he was very weak from fasting, and Bobby gave him the note. Well, he gave him the note, and he was very grateful for it. But when the very first moment when they met, Bobby said, "Well, how goes the boycott, Cesar?" And Cesar smiled and said, "How goes running for president, Bob?" And so they both laughed and embraced. And then I thought it was wonderful, the two of them, as I say, Cesar was very weak, and Bobby helped him to this homemade altar where together they broke the bread of social justice. It was very nice.
Now, there's photos. We were talking about photos, the images of Bobby taking communion. Did he describe that day when they went to Mass and took communion together? Did he ever describe what it was like to be there with Cesar?
Well, he was just full of admiration and affection for him when he came home. He just, felt he'd met one of the great men of our times. And I think he felt a really deep closeness to him. They shared the same values. And
what about you? When was your first contact, your first meeting with Cesar or any member of his family? Do you remember that?
Well, it was a couple of years after we lost Bobby, and they asked if I would come see Caesar and Salinas. He was in prison, and I was honored to be asked. So I went out. I think that there was some sort of threatening atmosphere, and I think the labor unions. No, it wouldn't have been the unions.
Well,
it was.
I think Paul Schrade was the one that arranged for you to go out there, and he escorted you through. He told us the story, and yeah, we have him on camera telling us the story about. And but we've also seen footage of some big guys escorting you through a crowd.
Rafer Johnson.
So could you tell us the story? With that?
Well, it was just I called up Rafer because we had gone together to Alcatraz to see the Indians, and he was very helpful at that time because it was the same kind of atmosphere. And so we went, and I think you had to walk through. The union people formed kind of a barricade against people who were trying to crowd in, and I don't know, they had sticks or something. It wasn't. Anyway, it was very, I don't really like to talk about that as much as meeting Caesar.
Okay. Well, you went in and saw Caesar in jail. And
yes.
What was that like? I mean, once you got in and you saw him, how was he?
I was, I was struck by his spirituality and his reserves of gentleness and tenderness and caring and love. I mean, it was really like what I think it would be like to meet Christ. I mean, it was, he was just, his spirit was so giving. He was amazing. And of course, he was very handsome. That didn't hurt. But he was in a padded cell. And I thought, how dare anyone do this to this saint? How could they treat him as like he was a lunatic or a criminal? I mean, it was very affecting, and it made me very angry that he could be treated so.
Now, so years later, in 1988, you went out to see him fasting, and I'm sure you had some kind of reaction to see this gentleman who was wasting away. Do you recall?
But in the prison, he had lost all his fingernails because he had fasted so much. I mean, the depth of caring was beyond belief. But later, yeah, in 1988, a whole bunch of the children and I went out, and we were with Caesar's family and his children. Children actually don't like to be called children when they're 40 years old, you know? And I'm sure it's the same in the Chavez family. Anyway, it's a real source of comfort to see another generation imbued with the same spirit of commitment and caring.
But when you went out there with several of your children.
Yeah.
What was it like to be there? I wonder, when you saw him, were you concerned that he might, that he was...
Very concerned and very upset that this great spirit was wasted, not in the good sense of the word, but that you had the feeling he wouldn't be around long enough to continue the fight, that he was giving his life so that others could have a better life. And I mean, it's tough to see.
I would imagine that there were probably people there. We talked to some family members that said, we try to talk him out of it. Do you not try to talk a man like that out of striking?
Well, you know, you're just butting your head against a wall that he has seen one way of going through life, which is so different from everybody else.
Okay. Now, do you remember, I mean, Bobby and Caesar had contact over the years.
Yes.
Was that relationship, did that evolve, or was it pretty much the same kind of relationship, that mutual admiration from the beginning?
Oh, I think it was instant when they met. And as I said, I think that they were kindred spirits before they met. They both recognized in the other the same values and the same hope for the country and hope for the people who are having a tough time.
Okay, we just need to change the role here.
I'm so wordy, I can't spit.
Camera 141. 141 starts now.
Your family, the Chavez family, I'm sure have some...
You know what? Excuse me, can we cut?
Yes,
why don't you ask me the question about the poem right off?
Okay.
Or about the lines.
Okay.
And then I can...
Okay,
then I can...
And we can do it a couple of times if you wish.
Okay.
Ready? Okay, let's roll it.
Rolling.
141. Now you read a poem that at a recent speech that you gave for, I guess, Caesar's memorial. Could you read that poem and tell us?
Well, it was just they were lines from a poem called "When I Think of Those Who Are Continually Great." No, is that right? Yeah, no. When I think continually of those who are really...
Does this describe your...
Okay, now, why don't you ask again?
This poem that you read at a memorial for Caesar, could you read that for us, or could you tell us that poem?
Oh, that was from a poem, "When I Think Continually of Those Who Are Truly Great." And... they were simple lines. They were just, born of the sun, they traveled toward the sun and signed the vivid air with their honor. And I thought it just captured Bobby and Caesar beautifully.
It certainly does. It does, thank you. Your family and the Chavez family do have some bonds. Could you... tell us how Caesar and Bobby hit it off really well, but beyond that.
Well, it's nice because it seems to have transcended the generations. There's great friendship there. And the children and I go to the boycotts, and we did the fasting and the marches. I don't think the farm workers walk. They're always marching. Anyway, our son Bobby is an environmental lawyer. He works for the Natural Resources Defense Council. And at the end, he helps Caesar a lot with the pesticides. And he gives still today speeches about it.
Now, you got to know Helen.
Yes.
Could you?
Oh, I'm just crazy about Helen. She's so real and wonderful. And I often regret that we're not in the same city, because I think we'd see a lot of each other.
What is it about her that strikes you the most?
Well, first, she's good fun to be with. And, her values are, she's got her list of priorities, you know, and she's right up front. And there's no kidding around. She's going to do what she's going to do, and she's going to help. But she's she's going to help the farm workers who really need it and help those in trouble, but her family means so much to her, and she's surrounded by them always. She has many, many grandchildren, and she's always with them. and with her children, helping. I don't know, I just like her a lot.
Now, do you have any memories, anything that stands out in your mind about Caesar or about his family? Is there anything that you can recollect that we should know about? Some incident that stands out in your mind that I may not have asked you about that kind of captures the spirit of Caesar.
Well, I think. No, wait a minute. Okay. Wait a second. No.
This is an opportunity for, in case we missed something.
Did I have something? Didn't I have something? How can you even think of that airplane? Were you brought up with it? It's okay.
Okay, good. We'll roll.
Rolling. It's
341, take three.
Did the fact that Caesar and Bobby were both Catholics, was that a factor in bringing them together? Did religion enter into this at all?
Oh, well, Bobby would have been with Caesar no matter what he was. But the fact that they were both Catholics and when certainly didn't hurt, and when Bobby went out there to break the fast, you know, it was a very kind of colorful background with all the Union posters and the religious symbols and the signs saying "Solidarite Siempre." There's a closeness there and an identification that they both had since they were born. So.
Caesar said there wasn't that much difference between a Catholic Mexican and an Irish Mexican.
I think that's about right. Yeah.
Now, is there a memory that you have that kind of stays in your mind about Caesar movement?
Well, there are so many. Caesar came on the board of Bobby's Memorial, and right here in this room, he made so many contributions to the direction that we were going in, and he was very proud of the Hispanics who were Robert F. Kennedy Fellows and were doing such good works in various communities across the country. And it was such a wonderful relationship. Although we didn't see each other every day, whenever we saw each other, it was like there had been no time passing. And we saw each other on many occasions when he would come to New York or Chicago, wherever we were having a function, he would come to it, and as the children and I would go to whatever he was interested in. It was just an easy relationship.
How would you describe him now that Caesar's passed? Who was he? What was he to you?
Well, to me, he was a great leader. I mean, a great man first. He is someone that you could be with and never want any, wouldn't matter if anybody else was around, because you were around him who was so straight in what he believed in, and so deep and profound and wonderful. And then that fabulous smile and and he just kept, he felt comfortable around him. He was a very warm, giving, loving spirit, and who had really, in front of your eyes, sacrificed his life and to help those who needed it, who were less well off. And for me, one of the most moving moments, and one I'll remember to the end, is at Bobby's anniversary mass, the 25th anniversary at Arlington, when there were 20,000 people on the hill side, and President Clinton and Mrs. Clinton and a lot of wonderful people there, and Caesar getting up and speaking and then receiving communion. It was beautiful.
Thank you.
Is that 5 minutes?
Maybe?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Over?
That's over.
Ah!
You're a little formality. Now sign your license.